Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for today is the epistle lesson appointed for this, the ninth Sunday in the season of Pentecost. I read to you from Romans 9, verses 1 through 13. The Apostle Paul writes, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year, I will return and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of his call, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." Thus far the text. I invite you to bow your heads with me now in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your word reveals truth. And it's that truth that we ask that you help to enter into our hearts and abide there. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, friends, you might remember that after God led the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, he miraculously provided them with water and quail and manna. The water, we read, flowed from a stone and everyone's thirst was quenched. The quail landed before them in the wilderness that they could gather them up and eat meat in the evenings. And the manna formed up out of the dew of the grass. And those who were wise enough to drink had their thirst quenched. And those who were wise enough to eat, well, they were all fed. Those who were wise enough to drink and eat, by the way, included all the people of Israel. And it didn't matter if they walked according to God's ordinances or not. Their bodies were cared for, whether they worshiped God or dishonored him by their rebelliousness. Anyone who was wise enough to drink or to eat was satisfied. Such was the providence of God. That providence, we read, was echoed in Christ's feeding of the 5,000 in today's gospel lesson. There, Jesus miraculously fed a cohort of 5,000 men and the women and children who came with them, all those people, with a meal consisting of just two fishes and five loaves of bread. And the wise people that gathered there that day ate. They too were in a desolate place and would have grown faint had they tried to go home without food. Now I say wise because it challenges us all, I think. After all, how much wisdom does it actually take to open our mouths to eat and drink? After all, those two things are just normal things that we do, like breathing. Our bodies need it, so we eat. Our bodies need it, so we drink. And I'm not just talking about us Christians here, all manner of people. It doesn't matter who you are or what you believe. If you don't believe in God, you can still eat and drink. If you don't adhere to the Christian God and believe in other gods or even false gods, they're all false gods if they're not the one true God, you can still eat and drink. The one true God provides all those things for us to nurture our bodies, to take care of our bodies. But But what about our souls? As Jesus so aptly puts it, for what is a man profited if he gains the whole world, which includes the daily bread God so generously provides, and loses or forfeits himself? Luke 9:25. Here we need to pay attention to Matthew 4:4, where our Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. To eat or not to eat? That's a good question for us today. If God invites us to his table, are we wise enough to eat? You'd think that the answer would be a resounding yes, but that's not always the case. It's only those who consume God's word gladly, those who feast upon it, who are sustained to all eternity. After all, God's word is eternal. God's word was spoken in the beginning. It pre-existed creation. And it provided for us physically, even before we were formed out of the dust of the ground. Light, water, air, all the plants and animals, they were all made before our arrival on this earth so that we would be sustained. And that was given to us without encumbrance, given before the fall, and not at all withheld after the fall. After the fall, God didn't sweep all of creation away and leave mankind to starve. No, he took care of us. Nor did God starve Adam of his holy love. From the beginning, when God declared Adam and Eve very good, through to the day of their fall into sin, where God promised a Savior who would crush the head of the serpent, God used his word to convey his love to his beloved children. He does so to this day. The ultimate portrayal of that love comes, of course, in the Word made flesh. The words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, were spoken for our sake. So too were the words, it is finished. When the very Word of God died on the cross, we became the beneficiaries of God's limitless grace and his undeserved mercy. And when that Word rose again on the third day, we received an eternal assurance. Death had no power over us. Death lost its sting. Feast on that, Satan. For what we eat, the very Word of God, and that Word become flesh, which is a life to our eternity, that's poison to Satan. That's what he hates, and what he knows only as death. We receive it instead as a blessing to eternal life. In that sense, God's word is desirable. Not that we always desire it, but that it's the very thing that we in most need. It's the pearl of great price that when found, it's worth trading everything else for. The world turns its nose up at God. It turns its nose up at God's word like a little kid turns his nose up at Brussels sprouts. The world refuses to eat of God's word, but you, my dear friends, you say, Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. You, my friends, say, your word is truth. That truth sets you free. In John 6, Jesus tells you, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Then Jesus goes on to say, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. And he explains it for us so very clearly. He says this, himself, is the bread which comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Talk about a great and trustworthy gift. As important as manna is to sustain the body, we, by the gift of faith that we receive through the Holy Spirit, are given to understand that this new bread is offered to us from heaven by God through Jesus to sustain our soul, to sustain our souls. It's not at all like the works of the Jews. The Israelites had to work to keep the law. And when they couldn't, they had to offer up sacrifices to be assured of their upright standing before God. That old order has passed away. The law has no authority over you because God has offered himself up as a sacrifice for your sins. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. John 6:47-51. Know this flesh. And you know the blood that goes with it. They're offered to you in, with, and under the bread and the wine of Holy Communion. And they sustain you even now as you wait eagerly to gather in his holy house to partake of these things again. Fellowship here with all the saints. But, and we should daily remind ourselves of this, even though the body and blood of Jesus are given and shed for all, there are those who still starve, even after they've come to the communion rail to receive. How is this possible, you ask? It all comes down to what goes on in the heart. Lest we forget, the Apostle Paul says, "For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep." 1 Corinthians 11:29-30. When we examine ourselves, and when we humble ourselves to confess our sins and admit that we are undeserving of God's love and worthy of his wrath, when we do these things, we judge our bodies rightly. Then the feast isn't upon ourselves and our own pride, but upon God and his mercy. Then receive fully. Come. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live. By the way, is an excerpt from our Old Testament lesson for today, Isaiah 55:1-3. Trust the wisdom that says eat, not the worldly wisdom that says seek to feed the flesh or seek to survive by the merits of your own flesh, but to seek out the God-given wisdom that feeds the soul and ultimately the body, life everlasting. Christ, our Lord, gave himself up for you, Savior of all and Lord of all. Savor that meal that he provides. Eat of that meal often. There's no such thing as eating too much of our Lord. There's no such thing as being obese in the word. As a matter of fact, there's only contentment. Pardon me. The Lord our God says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Matthew 5:6. This week's assurance is the assurance of life. Eat of Christ and you will live. Bring that to your home and feast on it, and feast on it liberally, and offer it up freely to those around you. For as there was plenty of manna for all in Israel to eat daily, and plenty of fish and bread for all those who sat down on that hillside before Jesus, there is plenty of food before you, plenty to share. Lest we forget, we are his church, mandated by the life-giving water that wells up in us to nurture faith and share God's love. Our key verse for this week is from the Old Testament lesson. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. That's Isaiah 55:3. As always, you'll find that printed in your worship folders or on the interactive worship page associated with this sermon. You can also download a picture, and this is something that's new that we're offering to anybody with internet access. You can download a desktop background, or wallpaper as they call them, for your computer screen with this verse on it. Just go to your homepage, go to our homepage, gracemitchell.ca, and you'll find that image in the upper right corner of the screen. In conclusion, I'd like to say this: be filled, eat often of God's word, and do so fully. Do so by reading your Bibles. Do so by listening to God's services online or at home on CD. Do so in person by going to church if possible and taking in Bible studies. In any way and in every way, feast so that you live to eternity. In this name, amen. I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, It's not that you we can rely on what it is that you said, that you are a chosen people, but how we arrived at the gift of this choice. You chose us and went to the cross for us. And if we deny that cross, we don't have salvation. Help us to receive that gift by faith and always live by that gift. And help us to always trust your ample supply. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.